Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
All right, good morning. I'm going to give you a choose-your-own-adventure here.
Okay.
We've got two clips to play. We're debating which one we should play coming back. Should we play Nick Wright on the Bills or someone talking about throwing up? Choose-your-own-adventure.
That's a tough one. Nick Wright or someone throwing up.
Talking about throwing up. Yeah, we're not listening to that.
All right, let's go with talking about throwing
up. Talking about throwing up is the pick. This is Matt LaFleur.
Malik, why he didn't throw the ball on that third down, and he told me that Josh threw up on the ball. I was like, that's the first time I've ever heard that. Matter of fact, the official came over to me, Sean came over to me and said, you know, we saw your center throwing up on the ball. Do you want us to take him out next time? I said, absolutely. Please do that because, I mean, you're talking about a critical situation, and it's third down, and I've never had a throw with vomit on a football. So I don't think Malik probably didn't appreciate that.
He probably didn't appreciate vomit being on the football.
I mean,
in a critical situation. I don't remember what down it was, but apparently
it was third and 10.
Third and 10.
I mean,
hey, I got to throw
this. Matt LaFleur didn't forget what down it was. It's a critical situation. Yeah. You think, like, he's worried about his player.
Yep.
Heat. Hell, like, it's a critical situation. It's third down. Third and 10 near midfield.
It's like, hey, I kind of got to throw the football here. Maybe don't puke on it.
Can I tell you what Mike Greenberg said about
kind
this?
Kind of a me guy. Listen, at that center, I would say.
Sorry about the breakfast, but it's a little late for breakfast for, well, some of you. Mike Greenberg says that Josh Myers, the center, throws up on the ball, bringing new meaning to the term chunk play in the NFL. That's what Mike Greenberg's joke was. All right, so there's that. Should we play the Nick Wright thing anyway? Let's play the Nick Wright thing because, you know, I think he said nice things about the Bills.
I think the media overrated their aging talent that left the team while they were there. And that overrating of those players once they left made them underrate what the team was going to be this year because they thought they had lost a bunch of great players, and I thought they had lost a bunch of players. To me, the reality is a healthy Josh Allen is going to get you a top 10 offense. Sean McDermott is going to get you, no matter who the personnel is, in the regular season, an above average defense at the least.
Yeah. That's all right.
I didn't hear a single thing wrong about anything I just heard.
That's all the floor for the Bills. Like that, it's, to me, it's important that most of these conversations we have about them, that is the established baseline. Josh Allen's going to get you a top 10 offense.
Yep.
So when you finish the season ninth,
yeah,
you should look at that, I think, and say, well, that's not very good. Because one guy gets you to 10th. If you only got the 9th, you didn't do enough. You should be doing more.
Yeah.
That's the Ken Dorsey point. Like, when Dorsey got fired, where were they in EPA per play? Like, I don't really care because he should get you EPA per... You got to make a change if things aren't working.
Right. Wasn't the point that if the worst you can do is 10th with Josh Allen as your quarterback and you're 10th,
you're doing the worst.
You're doing the worst possible job.
Yeah. Which this Bills offense isn't sitting there right now, but I think that's good context. And the Bills, you know, on the defensive point, he says above average in the regular season. I think people that want to make the McDermott points, those are all fair. Like, guys, I'm really happy that things have gone well for weeks 1 and 2. And if they lock up Trevor Lawrence, that's great. And if they beat Mahomes in December, then that's great too. It's November this year. But I need them to beat them in January. I need them to put on the kind of performance that they put on against the Dolphins, against Burrow. I need the shutdown of that guy in January for this to real. And I think both of those, what Nick Wright said right there, is pretty much what you should establish as your baseline for the conversations surrounding like the offense and the defense. I think that's it.
Well, and he didn't throw the right caveat in there? Because when he talked about the defense, in the regular season.
In the regular season.
and that's it. Like, I have no problem giving McDermott his credit for Thursday night, which I thought was incredible, what he did to Miami with the personnel that he had. But that's not the question about the McDermott. There's no question about whether he can stop the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
That's never on the table. Like, we just kind of know that he's got the answers there, and we have more confirmation on that now. That's not the question. The question is, can he do that in January? And he's had a cup. Did he do great against Lamar Jackson one time in a playoff game? Yeah, he did. Did he do great against the Chiefs ever?
No.
No. Did he do great against
the
Bengals?
Sometimes that's because of an injury maybe or two.
Right. Last year, there's, a legitimate excuse because A.J. Klein is playing linebacker. But when you have two, you're not going to get the break, though. You're not going to get the excuse of that when you have two other performances before that where you couldn't stop them. If that was their only Chief game in the playoffs in the last 4 years, I bet he'd get the excuse. Like, well, what is he supposed to do? He's got third string linebackers out there. But yeah, when you have the previous two, I'm sorry, you're not going to get an excuse there.
803-0550. What are your takeaways from week two?
I'm laughing at Will Levis fumble.
Will Levis fumble's amazing.
We're still
what on earth?
He's just fumbling.
He jumps over downed lineman and then underhand throws it like...
Oh, and his coach is so mad.
Come on, let me find the comparison here. What is this? It's like you're playing laser tag or something, and you're trying to shoot a guy while you go down.
Do you see... they just put away... There was a freeze frame of him while he's about to roll the ball. His legs are in the air.
Yeah.
His feet are the highest part of his body. Think about what I just said. Will Levis tried to throw a pass backwards underhand yesterday, where at the time the ball left his hands, the highest point of his body were the bottoms of his feet.
Crazy. He's an adventure. We're going to get to see him this year,
too. I hope he plays every game for the next 5 years for them, because he is just what a delight to watch. That was the perfect Will Levis game. You had one of the dumbest things you ever seen a quarterback do, where you're sitting on your couch, I'm going, what are you doing? And then 10 minutes later, he throws into double coverage at Sauce Gardner for a 70-yard touchdown. And the ball was in the air for 10 seconds. Love that guy.
A couple stats to bring you through the week. Patrick Mahomes had a big touchdown shot pass to Rishi Rice. How many of those did he have last year? It's touchdown passes of 40 air yards. He had one yesterday. How many have last year?
How many? Wait, so how many does he have this year?
He had one yesterday.
He had one yesterday.
How many did he have last year?
Did he have like 10?
Zero.
Zero?
He had zero.
Oh, I thought he had a couple
he had
at least.
Zero.
Nothing?
Nope. Zero 40-plus air yard touchdown passes. Zero last year. He's got one this year. Malik Nabers saw 2/3 of the Giants' targets.
That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
He did drop a critical fourth down late in the game, but otherwise he was unbelievable.
18 of 27 targets.
Unreal.
Nabers, he was great.
Yeah, he's going to be one of the elite guys for a long time, I think. And if he ever gets a real good quarterback, like, we could be talking the 1,700 yard seasons for this guy or more.
One thing I wonder, all right, let's play a little game theory. Are the Bills good at one thing and not good at another? What I'm getting at here is this. We've pointed out how they didn't give up anything to Marvin Harrison Jr., how they shut down Tyreek Hill. This week, they play the Jaguars, who, if they're healthy, targets Gabe 10, Brian Thomas Jr. 8, Christian Kirk 7. Like, that's a team with three weapons that they tend to spread around. They're without Evan Engram, who missed this past week. So who would they pick? I mean, they can't let Gabe go off.
No, you don't want that to happen. Him catching a downfield touchdown at the Bills.
I just don't think it's all that likely. Jackson Smith and Jigba, 37% of the targets on Sunday.
Pretty good. He looks like he's at least their number two.
Mm-hmm.
He's past Lockett now.
Mm-hmm. DK Metcalf had a big touchdown on a coverage bust.
Yes, he did. Yep.
Marvin Harrison Jr., Target share week one, 9.7%. Target share week two, 38%.
Yep.
Pretty good. Kyler said we, or no, Jonathan Gannon said we didn't force him the ball. The ball just went where it was supposed to go. Right, to your best player.
Mm-hmm.
That's a better idea. Fun week two. The Saints. And here's a stat for you on the Saints. Dom writes in like the takeaway from week two. The Saints are real. The addition of Derek Carr has completed the offense. He was there last year. But what they've added, 45% of his dropbacks included play action.
Okay.
45%.
Which I think is what he was good at when he was in...
Last year, you know what that number was?
What?
13. They've tripled, more than tripled his play action dropbacks. That's Clint Kubiak. He's the next fancy offensive coordinator who's going to get a head coaching job.
Clint Kubiak?
Clint Kubiak. Yep.
Shouldn't he be the Saints coach?
Probably.
I don't know if that'll happen, but aren't they... They've beaten... Who have they beaten? They beat the Cowboys, and they beat the Panthers in week one, right?
Panthers and then the Cowboys. They had 35 at halftime on Dallas.
What's the team that is probably getting called... You know, what's the question I want here? That people think, oh, everyone's going to overreact to the Saints this week, or everyone's going to overreact to the Panthers and how bad they are. Who's the team that people are going to say that about where it's actually real? Because the Saints are not this good.
That it's what is happening right now is not indicative of how their season's going to go? You're asking me whose start is a lie?
Who's the biggest lie?
The biggest lie.
The biggest lie.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Through 2 weeks. Because, the Saints being this good, or even good.
Is it crazy?
I don't know.
I mean, Rashid Shaheed's a pretty good second receiver.
Yeah.
And Olave's good. And Carr is respectable.
I don't know.
Who's the biggest lie? Are the Chargers? They're 2-0.
That might be good because of who they've played.
Right.
Right.
Are the Bengals the biggest lie? Because they always start like this?
No, that would make it the truth then, wouldn't it? Because we know exactly what happens with
them. They always do this. The Ravens 0-2?
That could be your answer.
The Vikings 2-0.
Them beating the Niners though.
Yeah.
Are the Niners, were they just out of too many weapons? Like they have so many, right? But Ayuk is still not getting the ball. I don't know if that's still rust or if that's the camp, him not being a camp. But no McCaffrey. Kittle left the game. I think he maybe came back late, but Kittle at one point got carted off to the locker room. So there was a stretch, I think, where they didn't have Kittle. They didn't have McCaffrey. Ayuk is not really involved. It's just Purdy and Deebo out there, kind of doing their thing. And that wasn't doing great. They didn't start stacking up yardage until late in the game. So I don't know. The Niners' injuries might actually harm them. We'll see if Kittle's actually banged up, though. If he's fine, then maybe they're okay.
803-0550, your takeaways from week two. If you want to share them with us, you're more than welcome to. Jaguars and Bills Monday Night Football. All right. Gabe, Brian Thomas Jr.
Chris did say this, right? The Jags have had their number.
It's been stupid losses, right?
Stupid. All of them even, right?
Kind of. It feels like these losses are always dumb. They lost to Urban Meyer. That's pretty dumb.
Lost to Urban Meyer. And they lost to Urban Meyer. What was the score? 9-6?
I think so.
Was it that bad?
It was pretty bad.
It was 9-6.
It was 9-6. The Josh Allen team scored 6. They scored
9-6.
With Josh Allen at quarterback. They lost the game in London last year.
Did you know Allen's stat line in that game?
EJ lost in London on a ridiculous end. Allen's stat line in that game is, I remember they started throwing to Diggs and the offense started to move after the entire game before that, nothing was happening.
31 of 47, 264 and 2 picks.
47 attempts for 264.
47 attempts and they scored 6 points. It's a weird game. Even the playoff game is kind of dumb, isn't it? That was 10-3.
Yes.
Blake Bortles to a fullback.
Tight end.
He was wearing number 47.
We always forget his name.
Kovac?
Ben Koyak or something like that.
Okay, so that game's kind of dumb. Was the London game actually dumb last year? Did everyone just say it was dumb because of the travel stuff?
It was very... Oh, last year's game?
Everyone said it wasn't real because they traveled on
the wrong day. Yeah.
And I just never bought that.
It's convenient, I thought.
Yep. But that game last year, Allen throws for 359 in that game.
He wasn't tired.
No, he wasn't.
Diggs went for 8, 121, and a touchdown.
That's pretty good. I'll remember that game for two things. One, the Bills piling up yardage late as they were trying to come back, and they were down 2 scores.
Yeah, they were down
a bunch of times.
Yeah, they were down 18-7 and 25-30. They were never within a score of the game in the second half. Really.
And also, that was the game they got all their injuries, and they left Kyrie Elam on an island, and he got cooked.
Well, you're
by
thinking
Calvin
of,
Ridley.
You're also thinking of Micah Hyde, who was asked to cover Calvin Ridley on the clinching play.
Right.
And Ridley got him.
That game last year, Ridley had 8 targets, Christian Kirk had 8 targets, Evan Ingram had 8 targets for the Jaguars. So that was very much, hey, we've got 3 guys at the top. And that's probably what they are. They are maybe the team for spreading the ball around right now because they have a couple guys that are actually good. Like, we know that Christian Kirk is good. We know that Gabe Davis is at least pretty good. And I think so far so good on saying Brian Thomas is good. He's getting open down the field. So, kind of a weird opponent because the history isn't good
and we don't
for
take
the Bills against this team.
We don't take them seriously.
But
we don't take them seriously. No one really does.
They're the Jaguars.
Yep. We don't take them seriously. If they beat the Bills, we will not take them seriously.
Like, they're not a rival in any way, right? They're not a rival?
No. Not at all. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. If you'd like to join us, you can. Jeremy and Joe. Sabre season starts, preseason, Saturday.
Saturday preseason, and then they play a team that's not in the NHL that Thursday, I think, because they head over to Europe. It'd be funny if they don't win that, because Twitter will freak out.
Those games are not listed on their Google preseason.
No?
No. It starts Saturday at home against the Penguins.
Okay.
Home against the Blue Jackets, then at Pittsburgh, at Ottawa, Columbus, Detroit.
Quickly, I had an interesting question on a hockey podcast this weekend. And did you hear Elliot Friedman on them last week?
No.
The question I got was, if they don't make the playoffs, what happens?
Nothing.
Elliot Friedman last week, let me find the exact quote, said something along the lines of the Sabres and their management knows the pressure that they're under and knows that if they don't make the playoffs that there will be consequences. So what does that mean? That sounds like...
The GM gets fired?
But from Friedman's words, that sounds like the GM thinks if he doesn't make the playoffs, they're getting fired.
Okay.
But do we buy that?
But who would they hire?
Brian Burke? I don't know.
Let's have a draft. Let's have a draft.
Let's have a draft?
Yeah, we'll draft who the candidates are. I don't know.
You don't think they would fire him and hire like a hockey guy?
It depends. What if they're really close? What if they miss by 2 points?
I don't know, man. It's year 5. Coming close is like, all right, you get year 6.
Are you going to stay?
You come
eight,
close
are you
again,
stay,
you get year 7.
How much are they under the cap? $8 million? Are you going to stay $8 million under the cap and then blame the GM if your team is not up to teams that are spending to the cap? I mean, you're you're making a choice to not have all of the things you could maybe have, are you not?
It would be, though.
I mean, I guess unless that's Kevin Adams who's sitting on that money, which is possible.
You would say, though, right, it's his core of players that would, again, not be getting to the playoffs.
Right, no doubt about it. And a lot of the point about the Sabres cap space is, well, they got to lock up more of their players. They just keep signing guys, and they're so locked into every piece. Yeah, I don't know.
It's weird.
Let's hope they make it.
I don't know how to splice it.
Let's hope they make it. Quickly, Connor in South Buffalo. Hey, Connor, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. First of all, Jeremy, congrats on acquiring James Cook. I hope that worked out for you this week.
It did. You know, it's been a big topic around the league. I jumped at the right time.
Yes, congrats. So as a Bills fan, you know, run, pass, anything to get the W is fine with me. As a fantasy manager, I wanted to ask you guys, what point do we start panicking and maybe selling some of our receiver tight end Bill stock? I'm going to hang up and I'll listen. Thanks, guys.
Sure. I would be not ever considering trading Shakir. Shakir is going to have how many targets by the end of the season?
I bet he gets 100.
Oh, easy.
He's got 8 through 2 games.
And they haven't had to throw it that much.
Nope.
I mean, second game not really needing to throw it. He had 3 catches against the Cardinals. He had 5 against the Dolphins. If the defensive injuries start to force them to need more points, I mean, I'm ready for Shakir to get 100 catches this year. And as if, well, although with efficiency, that would mean 100 targets because he's got 21 in a row. I would keep Shakir. Kincaid is an interesting one because he's done very little so far. And the rest of them, I mean, I'd keep Coleman and Dynasty. If you've got anybody else, I wouldn't consider it to be like Curtis Samuel was one of the most dropped players in all of fantasy football the last couple of weeks.
Totally out.
He's far down their depth chart so far, and maybe they're bringing up slowly. MVS and Hollins are complete flyers, and Coleman's is a dynasty idea. He's probably going to be, you know, what's Coleman's high mark going to be for yards in a game this season? Will he have a 100-yard game? He might have a 2-touchdown game before he has a 100-yard game. Like, I just think he's going to be, you know, in a role where he's given end zone shots.
We can get this later in the week. It is tough to parse, though, because they haven't had a... What did they throw against Arizona? 25 times? Yeah. 28
and
times?
He got 4 catches for 51, got 5 targets.
When they've got to have a game... I just mentioned this Jacksonville game last year where Allen threw 47 times. That was in a loss. But Allen's going to have games this year where he throws 40-plus times. When he does that, who's getting the ball? Who's getting 10 targets?
Shakir.
Shakir's getting 10, but then there's room for someone else.
In that game, Shakir's going to get 15. When it comes down to...
You've got him having
When it comes to the time to make the donuts, he's going to throw it to Shakir all the time, the same way that he threw it to Diggs all the time, because he's going to throw it to the guy that deserves to throw the most.
I was going to say, you've got his target share then being about what Diggs was.
Yeah, that's what I think it will be.
That's a high... Diggs had one of the highest numbers for that in... I think in the league for 4 years.
It was 23%?
He was always over 20%.
What was he last year?
Diggs last year. I'll find that for you.
I bet Shakir matches that number this year.
For percentage of the targets that come his way?
Yep.
It was over 20. Very quickly, last year, Stephon Diggs, because remember, he was getting targets at the end, even when it was not working quite the same. 27.4%. It was 13th in football.
It probably won't. That's 13th.
It was 13th in football.
Yeah, it probably won't get to 27, but I bet it gets to like 20, 22.
Okay.
He's the guy. 803-0550. We'll get a break in. 1-888-550-2550. Some good stats. Lots of stats. You know, you come away with interesting numbers when you watch a weeks full of games.
Yeah.
Thanks for the phone call, the question. Thanks, Connor. 803-0550 on WGR.